Good to go.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There is a wealth of resources there for children's self-esteem and confidence and so much more. So I'll put the link in the description. I highly recommend you have a look at that. And today I have an amazing guest on. I am so excited because we had some great conversation on something that is very important to me. I have the lovely Darlene Koskinen. She does amazing work on movement for children. It is such an important topic with children not moving that much, and we're seeing the changes in the development. So I'm going to pass the mic over, and we can talk. Thank you so much, Darlene, for coming on and sharing your story. Can you kind of let us know how you
Sure,
got to where
thank
you are
you.
today? Yeah.
And thank you for the invite. I also really enjoyed talking to you previously. So my name is Darlene Koskinen, and it's a bit of a strange surname because I'm married to a Finnish man. I'm extremely passionate about early learners becoming coordinated at as young an age as possible. So just getting them to experience a wide variety of movement. And to be implementing it in a really fun and playful way that the children remain engaged and learning. So that is kind of my goal in life these days.
So now you have a kind of throwing you for a loop here. That wasn't part of the questions, but you have this wonderful organization or business that you run that with that's called Move Kids. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about that?
I'm actually originally from Zimbabwe, and I used to teach gymnastics there, both competitive and recreational. But I especially became very fond of teaching the youngest ones, and really understood how important it is for them. And I had to become really creative with different kinds of movement activities that you can do with simple equipment like balls, bean bags, hoops, and ropes, which are affordable, they're durable, and hopefully obtainable. But I kind of became really creative with this equipment. And then I decided to share these fun movement ideas. And with my gymnastic background, I decided to create a program. And with my whole goal being to support educators of early learners, or I mean, my activities are suitable for after school clubs, for curriculum creators, also for sports instructors. I just have 200 plus movement activities on my platform, and I have ready to use lesson plans for different ages. So just trying to really make it easy for educators to implement movement by providing the fun activities that they may not think of themselves. And then also just the support, like, re really explaining that to simple movement activity, there's usually at least five benefits of one simple activity. And I think a lot of parents and educators underestimate the power and might of a movement activity, even if it's just hopping from one place to another or jumping off from a height. There's just so much to learn by doing different simple activities for early learners. And then also, I'm a karate instructor. I have a fourth dan. That's how I met my Finnish husband, through karate. And here in Finland, I actually run a karate dojo, and I teach movement classes to children here. And what I am really, really concerned about is the very, very obvious decline in children's physical ability. And this has really driven me to get my program out there, because if children are not moving often and moving well, this affects so many areas of their life, their well-being, their social skills, communications, literacy, just the ability to run from one place to another, their lack of stamina, their flexibility. So as I sort of teach children that come into my karate classes, I'm talking about sort of 7, 8-year-olds. When I'm doing basic skills with them, they are certainly not capable of doing of what the children used to be able to do sort of 5 years ago. And this, for people who work with children in the area of movement every day, this is very worrying. If you're an educator and you sometimes teach movement and not on a regular basis, you wouldn't really notice the decline of children's physical ability. And I think my biggest thing that I'm seeing is the lack of focus and concentration. And if children cannot focus and concentrate, their learning ability is really, really affected by this. So I find that I'm having to put in a lot more brain breaks and, to try and get the children to refocus, and then we do something fun, and then back to learning karate. And this is very worrying. So that means in the classroom or whatever they're doing, the focus and concentration is just not there. It's just not what it used to be.
Yeah, and that
Yeah.
is worrying. That is worrying. And I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the questions I was going to ask you as well. In terms of the mobility challenges, it's not just a physical thing because when we first talked about the topic was the core strength, the flexibility, the coordination is affected, but it does affect on other levels as well. And you had also mentioned, I don't know if you could mention it as well, but that you find yourself not being able to do the certification or get the belts until a little bit later on because there's some work that you need to do just on the basic moves. Can you kind
Yeah,
of go over
sure. I
that as
can
well?
elaborate. I used to let children become yellow belt in karate at by the age of sort of 7 and a half, but I'm just finding that they can no longer learn what they used to be able to learn by that age. So I've actually changed for children to only get a yellow belt at 8 and a half, so a year and a half later. So that kind of means their physical ability milestones are only being reached so much later. And then this affects their learning as well. So, with movement in the early years, it is really, really important that children are exposed to as wide a variety of movement activities as possible. And I think that, a lot of educators out there, children used to naturally become coordinated, and that's not the case anymore. And there's so many more children are having learning difficulties. And I'm sure many of you who are listening or watching, you will know what I'm talking about. And this is very, very difficult for us as educators, because the learning ability of children is so varied now. So, like 5 years ago, if I took in a group of beginners into my karate class, they would more or less be on the same ability level and learning level, and we could make progress steadily. But now there's such a diverse array of children with different needs. There's more children on the autism spectrum. I'm getting more and more children who are selective mutes, which I have never come across before until this year. So teaching a group of children is so much harder. And if only children were really exposed to a wide variety of movement in the early years, I think this would really make a huge impact on children's learning ability.
Right. What
Yeah.
would you write? What would you recommend in terms of, promoting the movement, promoting physical activity? What is the most important thing for us to be focusing on when we want to start introducing that in our everyday teaching or everyday routine?
Yeah, sure. There's three main areas of movement that should be developed. So there's locomotive skills. So that's just moving from A to B in a different way. So, this can be easily implemented in classrooms or when walking down, the corridor, the passageway, to take off your shoes, clean your teeth, or whatever. Children could be scrambling like a monkey, or walking like a crab, or walking on tiptoe, or trying to do fast little jumps or long jumps, or hopping on one leg. There's a wide variety of locomotive movement. And this is so important for just learning dynamic balance, motor planning, core strength. Locomotive movement supports all of these areas. And then the other area is manipulative skills. So this is when you use any part of your body to maneuver an object. So whether it be a ball, or maybe it's a soft cube, or even if it's just a soft toy, they could be throwing it, kicking it, pushing it with their head, pushing it with their elbows along the floor. So manipulative skills are all about timing and understanding spatial awareness. And this is very, very important for children's visual perception, for literacy skills. And then, like also with locomotive movement, they learn to cross the midline. which all helps with learning to read and write. And then the third, so that's locomotive, manipulative skills. And then the third one is stability skills. And this is usually broken down into three areas. So there's static balance. So that means doing lots of different balances where the children keep still. They could be balancing on one hand and one foot, or maybe on their bottom only, or maybe they're using their head on the floor and only their feet. So just exploring balance and doing partner balances even. And then there's dynamic balance. And that is like if a child is doing locomotive movement or tumbling, doing rollovers, or what I call log rolls, or jumping up in the air and landing on their feet. All of this requires core strength and the ability to maintain balance in flight and on landing. And the third one, so sorry, there's three. So there's static balance, dynamic balance, and the last balance skill area is axial stability. And that's for children to have the ability to spin, to jump and turn, just spinning around and then trying to orientate themselves, learning jump quarter turn, jump half turn, and even all the rollovers. So all of these wide variety of movement activities is what children between the ages of 3 and 7 especially should be exposed to, because that's when their brains are just wired for development, right? They're just absorbing every movement experience that we give them. And the more they repeat those activities, the stronger the neural pathways become. And then they just become so proficient and competent. And then that leads on to physical self-confidence, competence, and of course, well-being. And then they're so much more likely to go and join in with other sporting activities when they want to.
It's incredible that you mentioned that. It sounds like a lot, and it is a lot, but on an everyday play, they're getting that. We're just not really noticing it, and I find it so important. That's why I love talking to you, because movement puts all of it together when we're talking about the five spheres of development, with the social, emotional, and cognitive even. You need that movement to get everything wired and everything in place. And it
Absolutely.
sounds overwhelming with everything that you just mentioned that we should be working on in those early years. Is there one thing I really like to say, we could talk about it, but we also need to put it into practice. So can you kind of give us an example or a little tip on how we could get started today, with our kids, with our students, that a little exercise that kind of gets us started into knowing how simple it can be? We don't need to make it complicated. Can you kind of share with
Yeah.
some?
Well, I mean, I think if we just sort of talk about the classroom setting first, I think, morning circle is an absolutely perfect opportunity to implement movement because the children are awake, they're full of energy, and they're wired, and they want to move. So I always suggest activities there. A simple activity that works really well, for example, like if you're taking the register. And even if it's not the register, you can just call a child's name or tap them on the head, but you can give them a movement activity. Like you can say, go and touch three things that are red, or run around the circle 2 times, or balance on one leg for 10 seconds, or run in and out of everybody in the circle. There's just so many movement activities. You can be creative and give everyone a movement activity, or you can make sure all of them do it, or you get one of the children to suggest something and everyone does it. So just every sort of morning circle, just to try and do something movement there. Maybe it's a group balance. Maybe it's throwing a ball to each of the child and they throw it back. But that's a perfect time. And then locomotive movement, as I said, instead of just letting the kids walk somewhere, just give them a way to move. Obviously, you've got to make sure it's a safe way, that there's distance between them, depending on what activity you select. But I find that even in my karate, the children's muscles are just not developing like they should. So, walking on tiptoe, walking on the heels, you're stretching the Achilles tendon, making them walk up straight for their posture, because the screens are making the children very stooped in their shoulders. So any activities to support posture is great. So every time they're moving, don't just let them walk in some way, or let them do little pencil jumps, as I call them, on their tippy toes. And then the third place, sorry, I'm so passionate, I go
I
like
know, I
a,
love it. I
I
love
don't
it.
know,
Please
runaway
keep going.
train. And then the third place that I do recommend educators to do movement is in the playground. I do know that that is when they should go out and play, but because so many more children are not moving as much as they should, I think for one teacher each week to have the responsibility to just do one activity in the playground just for 10 minutes. You know, getting a big long rope and doing different kinds of skipping activities or relay races or ball games, you know, just to do something every day. And I've given three ways: morning circle, locomotive, and playground. That would already make a significant impact on children's physical development.
That is amazing. And it's just, I'm just as excited just hearing about it. And for those who are watching the video, you don't see me when Darlene is speaking, but I'm just kind of trying to bounce. I don't know if I'm distracting you, but I'm just bouncing because
No.
I'm excited. That's the kind of things that I love to do with my groups. And it's so necessary because the children are more and more stationary. And they once they start moving, they don't know how to kind of self-regulate. They get overly
Yeah.
excited. So by starting little and young and with some good instructions, you can actually get that to really work in your favor. And your platform works really well. If you can kind of explain, if for teachers especially,
Sure.
schools, because you have it broken down into categories, you even have it color-coded, and it's all laid out with videos and alter the equipment that you can use. You can search by, okay, I have bean bags, what can I do with this? And Darlene has it all mapped out for you. Can you kind of describe it briefly, just a
Sure.
little bit? And then we'll share your you have some information on it, so I can share that afterwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I have put a huge amount of time and money, of course. It's very difficult to develop anything without money. I've put my heart and soul and all of my 35 plus years of teaching experience into my platform. And as I said earlier, there's 200 plus movement activities there, using balls, bean bags, hoops, ropes, and even benches. And then, of course, there's balances and jumps. And in the program, I have individual activities. So, where the children are doing just, for example, if they're throwing and catching a bean bag on their own, and then there's many partner activities, group activities. So, I'm sort of really covering that area. And my program is also very much based on the Finnish early years curriculum and all of their stipulated movement goals. Here in Finland, they say children should move 3 hours a day and that movement intensity should vary. So my program is much the same. I have different intensity levels, different difficulty levels. You can, as Danielle was saying, you can actually choose and select specific activities to suit your needs or the ages of your children, the equipment you're using, the skill focus you want to really pay attention to. And then what I have with my videos that is a little bit more unique is that I have a child-focused voiceover as well. So I have the same video where I'm explaining to you, the adult, how to teach that activity. And then I have one with a child-focused video, which is really ideal. Not everybody wants to start jumping with a rope when they're 50 plus. So you can just sit your children down and then show them the video and say, look, this is what we're gonna do. Listen to this video, watch the children, because your turn is next. And if an adult really facilitates the watching of that video well, the children are then going to be inspired, I hope, by listening to me using my voice really well and trying to inspire the children to move. So this is, and the kids, as we all know, love watching videos. So I have done this to really just as another way to inspire children to move and to enable educators to understand really well. By watching the video, they can see how much space they need, what how to use the equipment, how to manage the children, and so on. So there is this big activity resource with search options. And then I have lesson plans for different ages, actually starting from 2 years up to 7 years. There's a wide range of ready-to-use lesson plans. And with the platform, teachers can create their own lesson plans. They can save favorite activities, and there's a couple of other features, but I won't go into those.
We could have you on again and we could go over those as well,
Yeah,
because
sure thing, sure thing.
I love the idea and I love that concept of it's curriculum based, so you could just look up the objectives, the learning objectives that you want to cover for your
Yeah,
school
you
year,
can.
and they're all there. You just look them up. It'll even show you the progress, how many of those lessons you've already accomplished, so that you know where
Correct,
you're at
yes.
with your curriculum, with your teaching. So it's just a beautiful platform, and we'll make sure to share that information so people can have a look. And you also have a YouTube channel with some videos, I believe, that
Yes, yes,
people
I
can have
do.
a look as well. Oh, I could talk to you about this all day. There's so much more that we could talk about. But is there I'm gonna go more on a personal level, and is there an advice or something you wish you would have known sooner that would have made your life easier that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, I think, I created my program with just sort of the idea of sharing, everything I've created. But then as I did more and more research and realized how rich my program was and the value for children's physical development in all of the activities that I have on my platform, I kind of started a bit late, because I didn't fully understand how valuable movement experiences are for young children. And once I learned more about this, body-brain connection, I mean, I'm from a sporting background. I have worked in a kindergarten, but I don't have early years teaching degrees. So I was coming from a different perspective, always knowing movement is good and sport is great for everybody. But, once I started to do more research, I really did. I just became on fire for what I've created and just wanting to make a difference in the lives of teachers and parents, and through them channeling to children, and then children obviously benefiting a great deal as well. Yeah. And
That's
if I can
wonderful.
just say, Danielle, that also I do workshops for educators. So it's one of the things I absolutely love to do. I love to help teachers to be very good and very confident with teaching movement, because I strongly believe that the quality of movement experiences now is so important. Now that children are struggling so much in this area and it's affecting their academic development, I think that it is very important now that teachers know how to teach important movement skills well. So, core skills like running, jumping, hopping, skipping, jumping from a height, doing rollovers, all of these very important skills that children used to learn naturally, and they're not really learning them anymore. So I do workshops on site, and online. And I also am developing a mentoring program so that I can mentor teachers through a certain amount of time. They check in with me, I give them more ideas on how to move forward. I listen to their problems, giving them all the advice I can. I've been teaching for so many years. I have so many tried and trusted teaching methods that just work. So, however I can support teachers, I do whatever I can.
This is what I like about your platform as well, is teachers are spread thin. They need to do their research when they're teaching in new lessons, and that takes up a lot of time, and not knowing if they're doing it right, that you have it all ready for them. And there's also that
Exactly.
beautiful the beautiful world we live in, where everything can be just virtual. So if someone like me in Canada can actually reach out to Finland and say, "Please help! I don't know what to do with my kiddos." So I think it's
Exactly.
wonderful, the work that you
Yeah.
do, and I would thank you for sharing all of that with us, because it's so important. We see it now, especially, it's one of the conversations we had as well, was with the COVID babies that just started school here in Canada. So these were the
Yeah.
babies that were born in 2020. They're just starting. And people were really worried about their socialization, but realize now that in movement, in their physical development, there's been some delays there as well. There's a gap because parks
Yeah.
were closed, gyms were closed, all the physical activity they didn't have access to did affect.
Yeah.
And that we're thinking it's just running around, we're thinking it's just tumbling and all of that, but it affects their fine motor skills, like you said, leading
Absolutely.
up to holding a pen, holding scissors. Those muscles, they need to be developed. So
Absolutely.
I love the work that you do, and I think it's I'm going to make sure to push everybody in your
Yeah,
way
and
to support.
if I can just say to parents, I mean, many educators are parents too, But we are all so quick to pick up our cell phones. We take the kids to the playground, but then the parents sit on the bench and use their cell phones, And I really have seen such a huge decline in ball skills. Kids coming to me at 7 and they don't know how to catch a ball. I mean, that is just appalling. It's shocking, And if us, the adults, it's our responsibility to inspire children to move. And for as long as those cell phones are around, or those iPads, or that even the TV, for as long as that is around, that is going to be a priority for humans these days, instead of actually, hey, come on, put that down. We're going outside to kick a ball. Come on, it's our own enthusiasm, and our determination to support the children in our care, whether they're your children or the children in your classroom. It's our responsibility to get them to move and to move well. And for them to be physically ready and have a strong movement foundation when they start school. And children to throw and catch a ball and kick a ball accurately. This is something that we never used to be able to have to make sure children learn. But today, that is how it is, sadly.
It's true, and they learn through watching us. So it's good for us to be moving as well. I know myself, I need to be out there a little bit more. So yes, let's go out there and have fun, and be great. That you did mention what you offer in terms of workshops and that. But is there something coming up for you? Is there something new that you would like to share with what you have going on?
2025 is going to be sort of a new diversion. I'm going to be diverting a little bit, or pivoting maybe is the right word. But I'm going to start doing webinars, and I will be doing a few free webinars, which I will let you know about so you can share with your audience. But I just want to share my knowledge and to try and make a difference in the way that I can on this earth, and that is to just share all of my teaching methods, my fun activities, the way I make movement fun for children. I just want to be able to share everything I've learned all this time and put it into webinars, and just to support people in that way and see if I can continue to make a difference through webinars. And then I'm hoping to start a podcast, but just once again, sharing my teaching methods, a whole new thing for me. You're obviously a pro at
With the technical difficulties we had this morning, I don't know. Forget that. I'll be there to help if you
Thank you. So it's just, I feel it's just another way, for teachers to listen to it on the way to school and think, oh, Darlene's just given me these great ideas and I need to remember to teach it in this way. And just to inspire and give the tools, give the information, give the support and guidance that educators need to teach movement well.
I love that. And you will inspire. I mean, it's just listening to you. I could listen to you all day. There's so much. I don't, yes, that's Chris. I'm looking forward to 2025. I will definitely be part of those webinars. It's so important to have that part of the development, that support in the movement development is I think it's great. How can people follow you, reach you, and contact you if they're really interested in following your
Yeah,
program?
please, please, please do contact me. I'm on LinkedIn and obviously WhatsApp and then Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. So all of those sort of, that's all I can manage, everybody. I know there's a lot more other platforms out there, but I'm older and that's the
Oh, I'm the same. You go with the ones that you're comfortable with as well, but I'm the same. I'm staying there. That's taking up a that's what and I will put that information in the description as well so people
Thank you
can
so much.
thank you so much, Darlene, for coming on. There's so much more I want to ask you and talk about, but we're gonna have you back on for another
Sure,
episode.
I would love to. I would absolutely love to get back on just to share more information about movement.
That's right. And then when your webinars are ready, and we could talk about that as well. But thank you so
Yes,
much. Was
thank
there anything else, the last thoughts, or anything else you'd like to share with us before we wrap up?
you. I think, just to for everybody to really remember how important movement is for young children, and the academic focus is strong. But movement should be one of the main pillars for early years education. And it would be really wonderful to get that back instead of pushing it away, because children's well-being, academic, physical, everything depends on it. So, but thank you very much for having me. And it's been a lot of fun.
That's great, and that's another great point. Is for classroom
Yes.
management as well. Movement would help quite a bit. So, thank you. And again, I
Yeah.
will put all the information in the description. And for everybody watching, don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to whichever channel
Yes.
you're listening or watching from. And please follow Darlene as well with her work. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.